Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Camera Work Podcast number 21. This is John Ricard. I'm a portrait photographer based here in New York City, and I'm joined by my wife, Tamara.
Hello.
Right. Now, normally, Ray Tamara, similar name, is the co-host, but he couldn't make today. But since we didn't do a podcast in 2 weeks, I figured I'd have you come down so at least we could get one done for this time period, and Ray will be back. Hopefully Friday we'll do the next podcast. So how's everything going, Tamara?
Everything's going well, thank you. How's everything going with you?
Good. You're on summer vacation because you're actually a speech therapist for the Board of Ed, correct?
I am, yes.
Right.
But so, it's coming to a close.
Right. What's going to close? Summer vacation.
Yeah, summer vacation.
Right. Okay, so she's not really into photography so much. She does an Instagram page, which is called?
Tamara NYCC.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right? TamaraNycc is her Instagram, if you want to check out her stuff. She actually gets more likes than me, which I find really frustrating because I don't know. I try to do all the stuff you're supposed to do.
I deserve my likes. Thank you.
Well, you play the game, meaning you interact with people there, whereas I'm kind of stubborn about that and I don't want to do it. Like, I just want to post content and not have to like other people's pictures and comment on their pictures. And when you do that on Instagram, it doesn't really work that good.
So, I tell you that all the time. Unless you're like a mega celebrity in the, I don't know, reality TV world or some other world of television or YouTube.
Right.
That talk, doesn't work.
Talk more into the mic.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, and it's funny because you have fewer followers than me, but you generate more likes than I do because you interact with the people more.
Right.
And I think the other thing that helps with the Instagram likes is...
But I think I enjoy it because I'm following a lot of the people who have similar interest to, you know, to me. So it makes it more interesting.
Right. What you, most of your people are, somehow care about, like, hair
right.
and beauty
right.
and things like that.
Girlbox crew.
Right. Whereas my Instagram feed, it's mixed. Like, there's people who joined me because they saw me put some BET content when I was shooting at BET. Then there's people who've seen me put up, like, you know, the girls from Show Magazine. And then there's people who've seen me take jujitsu pictures and post those and the street photography or the Leica photography that I do with the
right.
Leica. So my people are scattered all these different places. And then, you know, like the guys who joined me because they wanted to see the girls from Show Magazine, they don't care if I put up a picture of Bow Wow from 106. So my fan base, so to speak, is so scattered that it certainly hurts my Instagram game. And frankly, in some ways, I think it actually hurts my career too, because rather than focus on one area, I'm always kind of spread out all over the place. And I think sometimes I think that hurts me a bit, you know, being a little too spread out.
Yeah, I, you know.
Right.
That can be good and bad.
Right.
So it, you can go deeper into that conversation.
Right. Now, anyway, so I just finished a magazine shoot a few minutes ago, right? And you came to meet me afterwards. We're going to go eat or something like that. You
hopefully.
Know? But there was one nice little moment. I mean, it was really minor. It was very minor. But I just thought it was nice. And I think it's cool when you get these little moments of something nice. So two of the girls were obviously experienced at modeling. We shot three girls today. Two were obviously experienced, both beautiful girls, right? Mm. And they've done a lot of stuff. They've been in front of the camera before.
Right.
Then a third girl was actually someone you found through Instagram.
Through Instagram, yes.
Right. Which is funny because I've given quite a few people, like, jobs through Instagram that I found, like hair people, makeup people, nail, manicure people,
right.
and models that, like, I found on Instagram or you found on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But, like, nobody ever finds me on Instagram. I don't know. It works. Like, I'm doing...
Well, because I guess, like you say, the people who are following you are so hodgepodge, you know, that it's kind of hard to find, you know, people who could use your services. So,
right. But anyway, so the when I said to the third girl, the girl who came from Instagram, and I said, wow, what a great shoot. You know, like the three of you guys were just great. You were all beautiful and you were
right.
good on camera. She goes, well, those other two girls were beautiful. And she really didn't feel she
belonged
there.
And she's a gorgeous
there.
Girl,
Right, but she didn't feel she belonged there. And what's funny was, in terms of posing, she didn't belong there. Because when we went to shoot girl number two, I'm sorry, we went to shoot this girl, the Instagram girl. Mm-hmm. We went to shoot her. I stopped and said, after I shot off like 30 seconds, I said, let me take you out. And let me finish off what I need to do with girl number two instead. I know. I just saw it. We just saw a mouse walking around. Oh, it's so gross. My daughter is here, and she's, like, creeped out right now. It's okay, Angelique. He's not going to climb up the computer. I wish the camera was on her. She's on the computer, and she's so creeped out. I saw him, and I wasn't going to say anything. Oh, it's so gross. I hate mice. Oh. Like, you have no idea. Anyway, so I was trying to shoot girl number three, the Instagram girl, and it was hard to pose her. You know, she didn't know how to pose.
Right.
So I stopped her.
Well, there's always, like, the running joke with the Instagram model, you know? Like, who's your agency, Instagram?
Right.
Because everybody's a model on Instagram.
Right.
You know?
But there's actually nothing wrong with that. We talked about that in the previous podcast.
Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with it.
But the funny thing was I stopped her and I said, let me shoot girl number two. Let me finish her.
Which because probably didn't help the situation, Eddie.
Well, it helped the shoot finish.
It helped the shoot, but I'm sure it didn't help her self-esteem.
It may not have, but my priority was getting the shoot done.
No, definitely.
So I said to her, you know, sit down. I finished off girl number two, got her completely done. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, now everybody's done except you.
Right.
I can take more time and really nail your shots properly.
Right, right, right.
So at the end, when she was trying to say, well, the other two girls were pretty, mm-hmm. almost to imply that she wasn't pretty, I said to her, listen, you belong here. And let me explain what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. Because one of the girls was someone I met at BET. As I've known that girl 3 years.
Right.
The other model, I've met her, whatever, like, say, 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. I know who she was. I knew what she looked like. This girl, the Instagram girl, was someone who you found on Instagram, and I used her for a test shoot. We did, like, a manicure shoot with mm-hmm. her. And it was just a test shoot. There was no client. We shot it. You know, we submitted it to a publication. Don't know if it's going to run. So I knew who this girl was. It wasn't like I saw a picture or heard about
her. Right, right.
She'd been in
You'd
my studio. I'd worked with
mm-hmm.
her. I knew she belonged on the shoot. Mm-hmm. And I just said that to her. I said, listen, you belong on the shoot. I knew
no,
all
otherwise,
three
you wouldn't
of
have
you.
Called her.
I would have called her for the real shoot.
Right.
And I don't know, it just felt good to be able to let her know that. That here she was looking at herself like, wow, I'm not in the league of these other two girls. And I'm going like, look, you do belong here. Mm-hmm. That's why you're here. You're not here by accident. You may not know you belong with these two girls,
right.
but you do. So that felt nice to be able
That's
to.
It's nice. I mean, sometimes people don't really see themselves the way they should be seen, and it takes, like, this external individual or circumstance to let them really understand.
I think it's always that way. I think you never know.
It's not always that way. There are people that you meet, and they have such esteem, like, they belong anywhere, you know?
No,
there's
people
that you meet that
yeah,
are like
people
that.
Can
and
bob
then there are people,
and leave.
Exactly. And then there are people that you meet where, you know, you really have to try to convince them that they are worthy of whatever.
No, but what I mean is that the outside view of you is usually more accurate than your own view. Meaning my view of that girl is more accurate than her own view. I know she's in a league with the other two.
Well, that's because her perception was flawed. You know what I'm saying? It's her sense of reality at that moment wasn't true.
And
I'm sure there had to have been something to make her feel as though, you know, it could be her own self-esteem or lack of or whatever. You know, you see a pretty girl, you think that she has it all together, and sometimes they're the most self-conscious.
Yeah,
people,
they tend to not have it together, which is funny. They are very similar to the girls who are models are very similar to the girls who want to be models mm-hmm. in terms of personality. It's funny, you know. But we had something else, like, mildly amusing happen the other day that I thought was an interesting mm-hmm. thing to bring up on the podcast. Was we were shooting a celebrity, not a huge celebrity, but we were shooting a celebrity here, and I brought in a manicurist because mm-hmm. that's starting to get really big. Like, I don't know, like,
everybody's nails are done with funky claw colors and claw shapes and stuff.
I don't get it, but it's getting big, so I brought in a nail person, manicurist. She's 19. She's never done anything. And again, where did I find her?
Instagram.
Right. Found her on Instagram.
Was it really on Instagram?
For real,
it was
yeah.
like the internet or something. I don't know.
No, it was Instagram. Yeah, she... And, you know, like everybody...
Well, Instagram is really an agency now. They should start charging agency fees.
Well, you know, I had that conversation with Sean Cummings on whatever mm-hmm. podcast that was. If you look it up, that, yeah, it's the truth. Like, people make fun of it. Like, who's your agency? Instagram. But there is a truth to it. If you mm-hmm. can build a following on Instagram, you can get some real-world benefits from it. Not, you know, every benefit, but you can get some.
Right.
But the funny thing is, so this girl, she's never been on a set before. She's, you know, completely green. She's 19. She's super young. And we got the celebrity there, and we introduce her. She's the nail girl, the manicurist, I guess.
And she's a slow talker. Man, yeah. I heard a conversation that you were
That's super annoying when you call people in. Or they call you. And
I think it's a speech thing for me. I can't do slow talkers like, hi.
Right. But they call you and then they don't have anything to say. You're like, hey, what's up? And then they just like nothing and you're going, but you called
me. No, they do have something to say. It's just like it comes out really slowly in conversation, something like this.
Well, it's even worse because there's like dead space and it's super annoying. But the thing was she... I didn't see it because I'm doing other stuff on set. But from what I understood from talking to like the hairstylist, the manicurist grabbed the celebrity's hand to start doing the nails. And I think she just clipped the nail right away, like clip.
Wow.
And all of a sudden I'm on the other side of the studio and I hear like this little bit of a commotion, like, hey, like, what are we doing to the nails or whatever? And I walk over and all I'm trying to do is smooth it over because... I don't care what happens to the nails. I just want everybody happy. I mean, I just want everybody happy. Like,
you don't want her nails all jacked up. You
well, know, no, I mean, I want them good. I just, it doesn't matter to me if they're cut or not. It's just that the nails look good in the end. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the celebrity's like, well, what is she doing to the nails? You know, what's going on? And
I'm
like,
there's no discussion. You know, it's unnerving to have anybody just approach you without, you know, that's not like a celebrity thing. That's a people thing. Like, talk to me. Let me know exactly what it is that we're doing, you know?
That should have been done ahead of time. And, you know, and I can certainly take the blame for it for not doing that myself ahead of time. And if she were a more experienced manicure, she would have done it herself. But anyway, I'm like, she's not going to do anything you don't want
done. And just people skills. I mean, we're talking, like you said, maybe 19, the age would get you to not have the skills that you need deal with people. Because I don't think that's something that, you know, just because you're dealing with a celebrity, you would have to do. That's just
thing. No. I think the difference, though, is that because she works in a salon, when people come to her, she's used to people coming in, do whatever you want to do.
Oh,
I trust you.
God, you have no idea. You've never been to a salon. No. Those are the most picky women, like, come into, like, a nail place. This cuticle's out of place. You got a smudge here. It's like... It is not easy. I think whenever, I don't really go to the salon that often, like to nail places, but when I do, I find that the women who go there often are so demanding. They know exactly who they're going to. They have their nail person, and that's the only person that knows how to shape and do whatever and do the cuticles and whatnot. I'm more of like, you know, the person who's like, oh, you know, just do your thing.
Do whatever you're going to do.
But most people aren't like that. Okay. No.
Well, that's how this was.
But
the funny thing was, so once that happened, and then a celebrity said, look, I need a minute, which is not really good. She's just like, look, I need a minute.
She needs
to like calm down and you just kind of feel herself, whatever. She's like, I don't know what's going on here, whatever. And again, the blame falls on my head ultimately. I'm the one running the shoot, and I should have straightened this out. But again, the girls knew it happens, whatever. She cut a nail. I mean, it'll grow back, but whatever. So the point, though, is, so eventually she did let the manicurist come back and start working on her nails. She did, and she did a beautiful job, and we ended up shooting a whole bunch of shots specifically for the nails. But the point is this. So after that happened, obviously there's like some tension in the room for a while. It's like it's kind of quiet, and everybody's a little bit on eggshells.
Right.
And we've got a hairstylist there. Her name is Tiffany Coates. And this girl starts talking. I mean,
Tiffany starts talking.
And Tiffany's just like... I mean, she's talking like about love and hip hop Atlanta and Real Housewives.
So she's breaking the ice, basically.
She's breaking the ice, and she's just crossing every barrier and every line that you don't do. Just like, well, I don't know, you know, why Drea's doing this because she needs to just do this, and she just all these things that you don't. Again, and when you're dealing with celebrities, a lot of times you watch what you say, like. If you were shooting whatever Chris Brown, well, you're going to be careful not to say something about Lil Wayne because you don't know, is that his boy? So you don't go man, Lil Wayne's record sucked, because you don't know what the relationships are.
Right,
you learn
that
very quickly to do celebrities. Tiffany, she's just going no filter. She's talking the way you and I would talk at home on the couch. And she doesn't know this celebrity, but she's just talking. But the point is, she is so overbearing with it and so real and so genuine that... She changed the entire mood of the shoot.
Right.
This celebrity could not act like, oh, I'm offended because someone cut my nail. Because you were there with a homegirl.
Right.
You got a homegirl here, and she's just looking at you like,
and she's
sister
saying the
girl.
Things that everybody knows and wants to say, and you can now kind of chime in because...
Right. She's let you know, this is the kind of room we're in. We're going to just sit and we're going to talk
shit about...
Yeah, it's
more relaxed now, exactly.
Right. We're going to talk shit about whoever and whatever we want to, because we're all friends and we get along. And I mean, I was so grateful to have her there. It's amazing. And a lot of times we're cognizant of how one bad influence or one bad element in a shoot can really wreck a shoot. One model who's snooty can just ruin the whole mood and ruin the pictures. But the reverse is true, too. When you've got this killer personality...
And not just the model, but you can have a styling person that can do something.
Oh, of course, especially if it's a person who's high up. If he's like the creative director and he's not being it just wrecks. Right. It kills the fun and it kills your creativity of what you can do. Mm-hmm. Everybody's self-conscious and nervous now. He's cutting people down or whatever. But boy, when you've got someone like her, and it was something only she could have done, like, I can't do it.
Right, because that's her personality. She has that personality.
And it's
that,
so real.
That breaks down barriers and breaks down, you know, fronts that people put up. Because at the end of the day, we all get on the couch and we all talk a bunch
of we all do it at home. We're just afraid to do it in mixed company.
It's funny because, like, even if you listen to radio shows, not care which city you go to and which state, whatever, you're listening to, you know, you listen to morning radio. And what do they talk about? They talk about stuff in the newspaper. They talk about mainly about stuff on TV. And now a lot of that is geared towards that reality show programming.
Right. That's all it's about, like, these days. Right.
Yeah, because that's popular TV. So, I mean, we all want to talk about those things. So I feel like whenever you do have someone, you know, who can just kind of break down all of those walls.
Yeah.
And she's genuine.
Yeah, but
and that's really the
genuine is the thing. She's self-confident
she's
about it, and
yeah.
it's not fake. And it just it changed the entire mood of the shoot. I was so glad. Tiffany Coates, I think she lives in Jersey. Fantastic hairstylist.
She gets a star sticker.
Oh, my God, it was fantastic. I need to buy her an apple or whatever you're supposed to do. It was just beautiful, and it just goes to show how important the right team is. And I refuse to say, like, Matthew Jordan Smith because it's just too corny. He always says, what does he say? Oh, God, what is it? Oh, team means together, everyone achieves more. And I'm like, did he really just say that? Like, he's such an amazing photographer, but
you're
it's so
corny. You're a Matthew
Jordan
Smith stan.
I love his work, and I like him a lot, but I can't be that corny. I always make the joke that me is the most important. Like, you can't spell team without M-E, me. Mm-hmm. I'm the most important person in a team. That's the joke I always make
about
it.
Yeah, but if you're the most important person, then you have to be that person also that knows how to intervene and change the shoot to where it needs to be.
Well, in that case,
because, like you said,
you
know, you're responsible for the good and the bad in the shoot.
Yeah, ultimately,
you know,
it's mine. But the only thing I get credit for is to create the mood, to initial mood that Tiffany knows she can go off like homegirl at that moment, and it's gonna work because that's cool with me. So I get credit for that, but in reality she gets the credit, and there's a lot of rooms I can work, but in that situation, no, I could not have worked it. I could not have saved it.
She gets the credit.
She
definitely
gets the credit, you know.
Of course.
But I was thinking about something else today. I was thinking about fear, because, like, we had an incident today in the house, a personal incident that was like, my God, it really, really shook
me. Shattered your soul.
It did. You want to describe what happened this morning?
I think you should describe what happened this
morning. So I've been studying Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for a very long time.
Right.
And my daughter, I train my daughter. My daughter is 8 years old. She's been studying 3 years. And she knows that, I think the syllabus is 32 techniques that she studies, something called Gracie Bullyproof. It's similar to a white to blue belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu program. And she probably knows like 27 of the techniques, plus a lot of 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu stuff too. She knows a lot of techniques. It's like Marcelo Garcia. She knows North-South Choke, all this stuff. And recently we started teaching with her friends, which is amazing. I mean, she's got her three best friends who are all 8 years old in a third grade are like, we want to learn jiu-jitsu. And they like forced me to do it. They kept asking and asking. Once I mentioned it one time, they asked forever. We started doing it. And these girls are so gung-ho. They want to roll. They want to learn techniques. They pay attention.
You have an hour class every week.
Right, on Sunday morning, just for them. It's just my daughter plus three girls, whatever. And then first we had this little incident. One of the girls is doing something we call a trap and roll, where she escapes from the mount by trapping part of the body and rolling over and getting a superior position. And then one of the girls is like, oh, my ankle hurts. And she starts like crying just a little bit. And I'm just
she wasn't really crying. She just said, ouch. And then,
yeah, it was a little,
you know,
and I'm just
stop.
Like,
okay.
Look, don't be hurt. I don't want to explain to your mother that why you're hurt and that I hurt you, like, please, like,
even though you're doing a
God.
Physical sport, we,
I know,
the
it
thought
can happen,
of someone
but,
getting hurt never came to mind.
But it never did, seriously, because again, I've been training since 99.
I can't believe
I had
you,
one
but go ahead.
Serious thing that hurt, this thing called the sciatica nerve. I was actually hospitalized for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
It was, I mean,
and
I was
mind
crying.
You, when you do train, there are times when, like, you can't train again for a month because, like, your back hurts.
Yeah, but that's attributed different. To the training. That's not like breaking a bone, though.
Yeah? You know?
Some of it's age, yeah. Okay. I'm training in a really hard place. I mean, I'm at the number one school
We're gonna attribute that
in
to
the
age,
world.
Go ahead.
I train at the number one school in the world, Marcelo Garcia.
Yes.
And the level is intense.
He gets a star sticker.
Oh, forget about it. And I don't really belong there because they're too good there. But anyway, let me get to the point. But I'm terrified about this little girl being hurt.
Right.
But she was okay a minute later. She's fine.
She's fine.
Okay. So we start rolling. They're rolling some more. And then at one point, I mean, God, to even say it hurts me to even say it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter's on the bottom. This other girl's on top. And they're almost like standing up about to reset or something. And somehow this girl steps on my daughter's finger. Mm-hmm. And I could hear a little click, like a snap. And my daughter starts crying. And she's not a whiny, cryy kind of child. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? She's pretty strong. I think I've taught her that at least. And she's crying, and I'm looking at you. She goes to you, of course, because she's crying. And I'm looking at you like, we need to get her to a doctor. We need to get this thing x-rayed because, like, I heard it snap. Mm-hmm. Like, I just know her little finger is broken. And I mean, it's bad enough if you have a child and the child gets hurt. You're like, oh my God, this sucks. I hate it. But when you're directly responsible, like, because I know she's doing what I tell her to do, and I've taught her specific jiu-jitsu moves. She's doing a trap and roll, and she's trying her gangsta lean and all these different techniques that I've taught her.
Gangsta
and she's
lean.
Such a great, what, Eddie Bravo, what do you want? And I have really, you know, taught her, and she's trying and she's applying these techniques. And then to
but like you
she
said, she's under your
finger.
Supervision, and she gets hurt.
God. I mean,
right. Thank God she's hurt and not some other child.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that might have been worse
exactly.
is to go explain to some other parent, like, we broke your kid's finger in the 1 hour that we had her for the week.
Right.
Oh, God. But anyway, mind you, I've got to shoot today, so mm-hmm. I've got to go drop you guys at the hospital.
Mind you, it's X-ray. 12 o'clock. Class ends at 12, 11:56. Yeah. I say, hey, John Ricard, wrap it up.
Yeah, that is
no,
true.
No. Let them roll a little bit. Let them roll. Okay, now they're rolling. It's like 11:58. All right, we're done. Wait. First, the little girl's ankle hurt. All right, we can be done now.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up.
I don't know.
Moms are here to pick up the kids.
Right.
No, John Ricard wants to go a little more. So
yeah, I know.
I think it's great that you do get excited.
Right.
But I think there needs to be some type of, like you said, foresight, or what is that? Is that foresight?
I don't know what the solution is,
into the fact that someone can get hurt, and just when it's time to kind of wrap it up.
We don't know when it's going to happen,
but
though.
I know, but they were rolling for an hour,
right.
And who knows? It could just be a whole thing of just like,
But the thing is like, and then, you know, and I felt bad because I had to drop you guys to the hospital and get to the shoot that I did today. Because I had a 2 o'clock
shoot. Because
you
need to be in the city in what, an hour, basically.
And I'm driving south. I have to go north to get to Manhattan for the shoot, you know. But the thing is that, you know, it just made me think about fear. Like my daughter has fear of certain things, and in some ways she's fearless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to teach with the jiu-jitsu, that because she will go, she'll be like, I want to roll with this girl who she knows is bigger and stronger than her. But
it's also a friend.
Her friend, but mm-hmm. she doesn't have that fear like that. And I'm trying to teach her not to be afraid of losing and to get up there and to try and things like that. But mm-hmm. then, like, I'm afraid to put her back in rolling if she's going to break a finger. I mean, my God, every time I say it right now, it hurts me just to say it. It mm-hmm. really, really, truly does. Like, I felt so bad. And thank God when you texted me and you're like, her finger's fine. They did the x-ray and not broken.
Right.
It's like, I was like, oh my God, what a great world we live in. You know, it just felt like the end of some bad comedy movie. I wanted to go and, like, throw money up in the air or something to mm-hmm. everybody. But the point is, I was just thinking about fear and how paralyzing it can be, because I'm at a crossroads, like, well, what do? Do I not let them roll? Do I let them roll less? Do I cancel the whole jiu-jitsu class because I don't want someone to get hurt? Do we just proceed? Like, fear can be so paralyzing. And the thing is I had a funny incident this week. So I was doing a shoot and I needed someone to do video. So I throw up an ad on Craigslist. I'm like, I need somebody to come and do video for 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
paying a really low rate, an embarrassing low rate. And I don't even want to say it on a podcast because it is embarrassing. But in my defense, I'm not asking you to come in and create like a piece of art. I really just need you to kind of stand there and hold the camera.
Document for an hour or two.
It's 3 hours. Mm-hmm. It's a low rate. I'm telling you, look, I'm going to edit it. You don't have to do anything. And again, I'm not paying you for your creativity in a sense. I don't want a great videographer to come in and create a piece of art. I just want to be able to go like, hey, stand here, film this, stand here, film this, film that. You're almost like a human tripod. And that's why the rate is so low. And if you were really great at it and I clicked with you, then I'd be using you more often and the rate would go up.
Right.
But for what I wanted, I'm doing a low rate.
Okay.
And it's a weird thing is you even put this low rate up, you get responses from guys that are fantastic, like not Hype Williams, but I mean, you get some pretty good guy.
Work, yeah.
It's shocking, though, who responds to these ads. You're like, damn, this dude is way above this level.
Right.
But I found a guy who I thought would be cool. He was kind of low enough level, and the email was like, hey, I just want to learn. Like, if I could just work with you, that'd be enough. And I'm like, well, this is perfect. I'm going to give him some money, and he just wants to learn, whatever. Okay. So, and one of the things I want is somebody who's kind of green in the sense that I don't like sometimes when I have people on my set and they're trying to network. And it's funny because we're all trying to network. That's a huge part of everybody's business, and you should be networking. And like, if I'm a photographer and it's my studio, and you're the makeup person, hey, network all you want. Go crazy.
Right.
However,
because you're already in the loop.
You're here. You're in the loop. Mm-hmm. But if you're a photographer and I'm a photographer, then I don't necessarily want you networking in my space because you're networking the same way I'm networking. I don't need you here going like, well, hey, you know, I could shoot your calendar or I could shoot your
website. Is that the photographer voice?
Yeah, that's my photographer voice, yeah. But the thing is like, that's what I'm trying to say to the person. So I don't need you there. So sometimes I don't like having certain types of personalities in a studio. Mm. Sometimes I need you to just kind of fade in the background.
Right.
And I've had assistants where I've said to them, today, you can go crazy networking. Talk to everybody, make every connection you have. Because for whatever reason, I don't want to work that room, whatever that shoot is. I won't go into all the details. But I'll say that to them sometimes. Other times, they understand, like, you're not supposed to be approaching the model on my shoot to set up your own shoot. Because that's what I'm doing. That, you know, get a million other places to network. This, you can't do it. So anyway, I get a guy who looks like he's not going to be that way. So the point of that part is, I don't necessarily need your body in the studio when you're not working.
Right.
So the guy comes at 12, which is the time he's supposed to come. He's supposed to finish at 3. Shows up exactly on the dot, 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We're not ready for him to film. So he comes in, he's young, he's like 18, whatever. He comes in, he's looking at the studio, and he gets the big bug eyes, like big wide eyes. He's looking. And I go, hey, you know, I'm glad you're here. That's cool, whatever. But I don't really need you here till 1. And I don't have anything for you to do, so just go hang out somewhere. I mean, we're in Times Square.
Right.
You can kill time super easy here. I go, go kill an hour, come back at 1 o'clock. You're going to still get the same money. I'm not going to make you do 3 hours starting at 1. Mm-hmm. You'll get the same money that you were supposed to get, but you're going to finish at 3. He goes, okay. He leaves. Never comes back. And like, I'm thinking about it, like, nothing can happen in the hour. Like, it's not like I think he went out.
You never know.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Yeah, some gorillas came from trees and kidnapped him and held him for ransom, right? Like,
he dropped the mic.
You know,
he left the building.
I think what happens, though, again, it goes into fear. I think he came in and he had a small Canon cam. I think it's called a T2i for people who know this system. It's a tiny little camera. And I'm like, I had said to him, let me see the camera. And I said, "Does it? Do you have a microphone?" He said, "No." I said, "Don't worry, I have a mic here. I'm just going to plug in my mic to your thing. You're just going to shoot. We're going to download it at the end." We had a very short conversation.
Right.
But I think he was so scared. Like, he looked in and he's seeing, like, hair, styling, you know, hair person, a makeup person, a styling person, a semi-celebrity, you know, photographer, like, all of this stuff in the lights.
Was that
in the
shade
studio.
A semi-celebrity?
Well,
was
whatever.
It a celebrity or
you
not?
You know what I mean? Like, I just meant it wasn't a celebrity.
That was shade, John Ricard.
I just mean it's not a celebrity that he would recognize, but yes, it was a celebrity.
Okay.
But the point, though, is, like, that fear for some people can be so paralyzing that like, rather than step up to the plate and be like, okay, I'm going to do this, he got so scared after walking into my studio for 30 seconds that he left. And, like, I didn't care in a sense of, like, losing the shoot, like, losing his video. I was just like, okay, whatever, like, there'll be another shoot next week. I'll videotape that.
Right.
But I kind of wanted to just email him and be like, dude, like, if you're too afraid, like, maybe this isn't the field you need to be
in. Well, you don't have to tell him that. If he's afraid and he doesn't want to come back, I think he knows that I'm not ready for this,
but,
you know?
But you see,
I think he made that decision before you could even tell him.
I know, before I even met him. But the thing is I feel this need to tell people stuff, and like...
You sure do.
I know. I do it to you all the time. And you know how not to listen, apparently.
I know how not to listen. Unfortunately, this poor little camera guy probably ran off.
Right.
After you said something real shady to him, shady about his camera.
No, I might looked at it like that, but and it leads me to another story, which is I think a little funny. Is that
story hour?
It's the John Ricard.
John Ricard's story.
Yeah, storytelling. So look,
bedtime stories.
So I've been trying to get a wedding photographer to be a guest on the podcast because we haven't done that. Everyone who's been a guest so far has been kind of in that vein of myself and Ray.
It's like a week in the life because I think you've been like recapping.
So, well, that's the podcast. What's the podcast supposed to be? I mean, you know.
Go ahead.
I mean, what is it supposed to be? It's a week in the
Go
life,
on.
You know? And hopefully something happens to talk about. But I've been trying to get a wedding photographer because we've never had that. Everybody we've ever had on as a guest has done what I call like editorial or corporate, not right. necessarily shooting executives, but they're working for Sony, they're working for Atlantic Records, they're working mm-hmm. for magazines and stuff. We've never had someone who works with regular people selling prints or being hired to shoot a wedding. So I've been wanting to get right. one. So I throw up an ad on Craigslist, mm-hmm. like, hey, I got this podcast, here's the link, I'm looking for a wedding photographer. Okay, and I get a decent number of responses, and I'm going to try to get one on the next podcast.
Right.
And Ray will be on that podcast, by the way.
Yay, okay. Ray will be back.
Yes, which is good. So one of the people who responded, because everybody who responded, I looked at their work because I wanted it to be someone who is established and good at what they do. Mm-hmm. We've done the episode several times about like what you need to do to break into the industry, what you need to do to get started. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it to be that. So I wasn't looking for a wedding photographer who was like learning the ropes, because that just wasn't the focus of this episode that I want to do. I want to talk about someone who's established. So one of the people who responded, I look at her site, and the work is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're never allowed to say it's bad because, mm-hmm. you know, you can't judge it and who are you, whatever.
Who are you?
I don't know. But I make my judgments and I go, this work is not particularly good. And certainly not the person that I would want to be a guest, because, again, that's not what this episode is about.
Right.
I want somebody who's established. We have a different conversation. But being the busybody that I am, I feel a need to say to the person, like, I can help you. Because I do that, and I know, like, nobody does that, and I'm sure it sounds really dumb. It might even sound obnoxious. I don't know, but
obnoxious would be the word, yes.
Okay, but look at where I came from. I taught high school for 10 full years mm-hmm. in the New York City Board of Ed. I spent 10 years of my life helping people, teaching them. I know how to teach. Mm-hmm. I was putting up YouTube instructional videos.
It doesn't mean that everyone, though, wants... Forget is. Doesn't mean everyone wants your critique. It just does not.
I know.
Like, that's just, it is somewhat obnoxious to think that, you know, just because you have something to say that, about someone's work right. that is so personal.
Right.
You know, you have to wait until people are ready to hear things like that.
No, you're correct. You are correct. But I'm just saying, in my defense.
I don't care what your background is.
But in my defense. I do have a background in educating. And the thing is that right. you could look at someone's work and go, and again, I know we're not supposed to make these judgments, mm-hmm. but let's just drop that for 1 second. You could look at someone's work and go, hey, your work sucks.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that that person who can judge the work is sucking mm-hmm. has the ability to explain why it sucks or how to make it better. That's a whole separate skill.
Right.
And I have that ability. I do. Again,
yeah,
I taught
then,
for 10
well,
years.
Well, then maybe you should have a business where it's your job.
Right, like a consultant.
Right.
Right,
but you can't, just because you meet someone right. and you're looking at their work,
I know,
does not mean
and
that they're
the
looking
way,
for you to critique it.
Correct,
it,
but I have had people.
I feel like it's okay, yes, right. it's okay to have someone say, hey, can you tell me what you think? Then
right.
it's completely and totally okay for you to do that.
Right, and I have had a bunch of people, I've
right.
told you stories about it. People
and that's fantastic.
Emailed me, called me, whatever.
Right, and that's great.
And I've
but
done
this,
it.
You're right. unsolicited.
I know. So,
you know, recommendations, though, right. even in my life, is annoying.
Yeah, I know.
It, you can't even find the help in it because it's just annoying.
I do it
That's
to you
all
the time.
I know.
And you hate it.
Yes, I do.
But at least you know how to go toe-to-toe with me, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm going to read you the email that I sent to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know the email sounds crazy. I'm not trying to say I am the most sane person.
Because you're not.
I'm just not.
Right.
I know nobody does this, and I'm crazy.
All
anyway,
right.
this is the email I sent her, I said.
Fire away.
Thank you for responding to my solicitation for a Camera Work podcast guest. This will be a hard email for you to read, but here goes anyway.
No, you did not.
I know.
No, you didn't.
I did. I know. I know. I'm not saying
that. That'll be a hard email. Right. But, oh, Jesus. Go ahead. Go on.
All right. So I said, there is a lot, and I put quote. At least I put quote.
Quote.
There is a lot wrong with your work. I'd be glad to give you a half-hour consultation about what is not right and how you might go about fixing it. There's a few lighting things and a few books I'd recommend to you. This is not a solicitation for money in any way, shape, or form. I appreciate you offering to be a guest on the podcast. And in return, I'm offering to sit down with you for half an hour and give you some insight into how you can improve what you're doing. And this isn't a form letter that I wrote to everyone who responded to the posting. Because I was afraid you would think, oh, you threw up this thing about
it's
I
like
want to guest.
Spam guessed. Or whatever.
Yeah, and then I'm just emailing everybody like, oh, let me help you work because
right.
I've got this consulting. And it's not. So mm-hmm. I put that disclaimer in.
Disclaimer
said,
was added.
I wrote, I'm writing this to you after checking out your site.
Right.
And I put, I know the ego can get in the way. It can be hard to
yes.
read an email like this. But
this
if you're able
John
to.
John Ricard, the psychologist, speaking hey, about the id and the ego.
I'm shifting gears.
Go on now.
I said, but if you're able to drop your ego, send me an email and we can schedule a quick sit down. Okay. And Okay, and I said, let me know.
As she picks up her heart and her face and everything after reading this email, like, let me hear the response. Right.
So I said, let me know, even if you don't take me up on the offer.
Is this a female or male?
It was a female. I said, let me know, even if you don't take me up on the offer, best of luck to you, okay?
Now, would you do this for a male? Let's hear her response, and then let's talk about
the response is very short.
Let's talk about the gender.
But I would have done it for a male, yes, and I have done it. Like I said, I could name people, but it would be like...
But people who solicit, you don't have to name people, but are these people saying to you, well, hey, what do you think?
Not all the time, but sometimes people have, but again, it... Again, there's people who have helped.
Let's have that conversation afterwards.
But she wrote in response. She wrote, John, I did not email you for your critiques. I know.
That's
funny to me.
Right.
I know. Even that, I was like.
Done.
I saw that. I was like, here we go.
Serve. Go on.
But anyway, she wrote, John, I did not email you for your critiques of my work. I emailed for the podcast. Have a good day.
Damn
regards.
Straight.
And she put her name. I'll call her Jane, which isn't her name. But regards, Jane. But. Here's my point. You can make whatever point you want. Okay, my point. Again, what is that? That's fear. That's all it is. Because, and I know I'm cutting
it. It's not fear. You insulted the woman.
No. Okay, even if I insulted you.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is.
She might not need your help.
Oh, she does. I guarantee you. And again, I don't care how obnoxious it sounds. She can look at my work. And she can see that my work is stronger than hers.
Right.
She can see that there is a vision to the work and that there is a technical correctness in terms of how things are lit and how things are composed. Now, aesthetically, you may not like it, but you can't argue with the technical part being correct and that there is a vision, that there is some type of a statement being made in that my work, if you look at my site. Mm-hmm. And she can look at her work and she knows it's not there.
Right.
You know I can help you. And again, I have a track record of this because, again, I was putting
up... So what is she afraid of, though?
I'm going to tell you one second.
What would she be afraid of?
But I put up YouTube videos years before that kind of thing was popular. I've been doing instructional videos. I've been giving out instructional information for years on the internet. Again, long before Creative Live and these things made it popular.
But let me just say this.
What she's afraid of is the embarrassment of facing...
No, but let me interject because, like, you have to understand that the one thing I always say to you as well is it's not like... Even with me, I don't want to accept your advice or your expertise. But there's a way that you approach someone.
Right. That's
there's just a way to approach someone.
Right.
And that's not it. It just isn't.
But your thing is always like, hey, it's not what you're saying. It's the way you say it.
Right.
And,
the way you worded that email was just... condescending. It was.
It was honest. It was honest. And sometimes you just need to hear the honesty. And
then sometimes people's egos are going to get hurt and they're not going to respond the way you think they should.
Hey, that's not my problem.
That.
And like sucking at photography is not a lifelong condition. You can fix it. And believe me, I can sit with you for half an hour and explain what's wrong with this shot and what you need to do to make it better.
Right.
But the thing, like I'm saying, it's fear because you don't want to face that honesty. You don't want it. You want to just pretend you're... And mind you, the person who I'm talking about, by the way, and this is for anybody who understands photography. There's a person whose website says, I do weddings and you get the CD of the entire wedding when we're done. And people who really shoot weddings know right off the bat that that is not a successful wedding shooter because the successful wedding shooters, they're selling prints and they're holding on to the digital negatives. They're some of the best businessmen in the entire, and businesswomen in the entire photography business because they're not doing work for hire.
Right.
They're not taking little tiny day rates. They're making a lot of money, a lot of these people. And with the ones who are like just burning a CD at the end of the shoot, those are not the people doing great wedding photography.
Right.
So, and I would tell you that, but you don't want to hear it. You'd rather pretend and go to Facebook.
Well, yeah, she'd rather pretend and
go to Facebook and Instagram
run along
and
do her
likes.
Thing. Yeah,
right. And you're kidding yourself, but like Tupac
but
said,
but she's happy. She's fine. She's supporting herself
fine.
And doing you what know. She wasn't asking for your. She wasn't soliciting your advice.
No, she wasn't.
Expertise.
Like she told me in the email.
She sure did.
But I've quoted it before. But like Tupac said, you can tell the people
God,
you roll
now
we're
with. Tupac.
You can tell the people you roll with whatever you want, but you and I know what's going
yes.
on.
Yes.
And that's one of my philosophies
Tupac
of life.
Knows.
He knew. And the thing is, it's like I'm saying, she can tell all the people on Facebook, she can tell her boyfriend, all these other people that she's a great photographer.
Right.
But you and I know what's going on, and what's going on is you suck, and I'd be willing to help you because you tried to help me on my podcast. It's only going to take me half an hour, knock it out quick. You're afraid to do it.
Well, she didn't want your help.
Hey, nobody wants my help. Do you want my help? Do you ever want my help? No. Okay. So I'm very used to nobody wanting my help that, you know, is completely fine with me. But I'm going to continue to do it. And every now and then, someone is going to respond and they're going to be like, wow.
Yes, and God will love you for it.
And you know, oh my God, it's so funny. I wish I could find the email. I doubt that I could. But talk about something if you can so I can see if I can find this email. Talk about something.
Like what?
I don't know. Talk about something. Let me see if it shows up in the search. Because it would be a perfect example.
Well, what are you? What's the email that you're trying to pull up?
I guess I'll do it without.
Oh, are you helping someone? Yes. You help people all the time, John Ricard. You are the Mother Teresa.
See, this would have been a really good point, though.
You are.
Oh man, I wish I had it, but I'll try to tell it without reading the actual email. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the story is slightly weaker without the email, but. Essentially, I was at a jiu-jitsu tournament, mm-hmm. and I was shooting it, and some girl came up to me and she said, "How do you get a pass to shoot the tournament?" And mm-hmm. I said, "What you do is basically you find an outlet. Find somebody who's going to run a picture.
Right.
And you email the people who run a tournament, mm-hmm. and you're like, 'Hey, I'm shooting for such and such. Can I come and shoot the tournament?'" And I did something for her that, in a sense, could be considered wrong, but I did it anyway. I said, "Look, she was from a school that was pretty prominent in jiu-jitsu." Mm-hmm. I said, "They might let you because your school is pretty big in jiu-jitsu. You know, they send enough students in." I said, "I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you the email of who you would email.
Right.
Just don't mention my name. Don't say you got the email from me. Just act like you got this dude's email from God knows where."
Right.
I just gave her the email. I extended myself to her. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do that.
Right.
I just said, like, "Here's the email, whatever." So 6 months pass. I'm shooting the next tournament for the IBJJF, International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation, and some girl walks up to me and she says, "Oh, I just want to thank you because, like, I got into this to shoot this tournament because of you."
Right.
And I'm trying to remember, and it just took me a second. I'm like, "Oh my God, I remember it. It was some girl I was talking to. This was right over here." Mm-hmm. I pointed to the corner. She's like, "Yeah." She says, "You gave me the email of somebody," and I started laughing because I hadn't remembered that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, "Oh my God, that's right. I gave you the email," and I was like, "Do not mention you got it from me."
Mm-hmm.
And she just said, "I just really want to thank you because I'm only here mm-hmm. because I spoke to you and you extended yourself and you tried to help me understand
right.
what to do." And so she thanked me there, and about 2 days later, and that was the email I was going to read on the podcast. I had mm-hmm. it in my notes for a previous podcast and never got to it. But she sent me an email and she was just like, "I just want to thank you for doing that." She's like, "What is going on in my career?"
But she asked for help.
She did ask for help.
She
yes.
asked. She extended right. herself and she reached out.
Right.
But I think the thing that you tend to not, and you know, listen, like you say, you're not going to stop doing it. You're going to
yeah.
solicit as much as you can, you know, possibly find photographers who need your help, whether they ask for it or not,
right.
and give them
yes.
your critique and
right.
tell them if their work is good or bad. You know, which, like you say, is obnoxious. And as long as you have that understanding
yeah.
that it is,
right.
you know, not everyone is ready for help and not everyone wants help.
Yeah, and then you don't know who I am. And then you don't even know, maybe I am trying to take your money. You don't
yeah,
know, so whatever. You know,
and it's not even that deep. Like, I don't want, like, leave me alone, you know?
Right.
It's just, yeah, I'm fine. And
right.
leave me.
But, and you know, and I would say too about myself, though, I've gone for help. Like mm-hmm. Selena Maitreya, I have given her
well,
money
you're on a constant,
to help me.
You
yeah.
know,
but I'm saying, like, and she was very helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Selena Maitreya, you can look her up. I'm not sure how you spell it, but look
right.
for Selena Maitreya. She's a photography consultant. She looked, I went to her, I paid her money to tell me, "Is my book good?"
Money's coins.
Hey, I said, "Is my book good?" And this woman said to me,
mm-hmm.
"This book would not get opened." She was like, "Everything's wrong with this book.
Right.
The edit is wrong. The number of images is wrong. The packaging is wrong." She said, "This book would not get opened."
Shook
and I
your
was
soul,
so glad
right?
she told me that.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Shook your soul.
It did.
Ready to change it.
I haven't shown that book
right.
since. And now, thanks to her, I've got a way better book.
Mm-hmm.
My book gets open now.
Right.
But I don't mind hearing it.
No.
You know, I don't care. Like, tell
yeah,
me what's
right.
wrong.
Let
yeah, me fix
yeah,
it.
You're a different person, though. Like I said, not everybody's open and
right.
ready for that. And like you said, you went to Selena, yeah?
Right.
Selena didn't call you and email you.
Yeah, I know.
"John Ricard, your work sucks. Give me a call."
Hey, I'd be like, I'd call her though, you know. Oh, and you know, one other really quick thing I forgot to mention. Like, well, two other little stories. I was just about to wrap, but let me just tell
mm-hmm.
two other little brief stories, okay?
Oh, God.
So, one of the wedding people who I was going to call, because again, I got a few responses to the little Craigslist
mm-hmm.
posting. And I called somebody, and I got the voicemail, so I hung up because I don't know, it's 2013, you don't leave voicemails, you wait
right.
you get them in person and you email them whatever, and a person texted me back, "Who is this?"
"Don't you know who I am?"
But
I'm the mighty John Ricard.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you're running a business where you post your phone number,
they were like, "Who that?"
But if you post your phone number on a website and you're dealing with regular people, right. To me, you should be expecting calls from people you don't know.
Maybe they don't get calls. Who is?
Someone like yourself, you're not in a business like that. You work for the Board of Education. Right. You don't expect to get random calls from people you don't know.
No, I don't.
And you'd be perfectly justified to go, I don't answer blocked numbers, I don't answer calls, I don't recognize, and I'm going to text people and say, who is this?
Right.
But if you're running a wedding photography business,
maybe you reach the personal line.
But shouldn't you be getting calls all the time from people that you don't know? Isn't that like the best thing ever to get calls? You don't. And where's the person supposed to go? Like, suppose it's a potential client. Is the guy supposed to go?
Well, did they say who is this versus who this?
No, it did. They did just say who is this.
That's good. Correct. That's great.
With a capital letter and a question.
That's fantastic.
But is the person supposed to go like,
state your name,
Bob Smith? Like, how does that help? Like, why not just call him back? Like, you put your number publicly on the internet,
right?
And someone called you, and it's almost like you're mad that they called. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the dumbest thing.
But again, I guess it's just poor communication, and you know, like,
I don't know. I think you're off base with that.
Right. Well,
but one last thing I just wanted to share that happened in the last week or two, and it was regarding the shoot today, sort of though, was. You know, you're always looking for models. You're trying to have them just ready to go because you never know when you're going to get a call from a book company. I've done a lot of book covers, and you need a model for that. Mm-hmm. A couple of magazines that I shoot for, and you need models.
It's the last topic, right?
Yes, this is the last topic. My co-host is bored
by
the podcast.
I'm very busy.
So she wants
check
to
my eat. Instagram.
She wants to
and play Candy Crush.
Right. But anyway, so this is our last topic, everybody. But so you always need models or whatever. And the thing is, I find that, like, let's say you need 3 models for a shoot, you need a database of a minimum of, like, 12 to 15 because they don't return emails, the numbers change, you know, they don't get back to you in time. It's all kinds of nonsense that you have to deal with when you're dealing with, like, models that are not agency models. And there's reasons why I tend to, a lot of times, use girls that are not agency models. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to get into all that in this conversation. It's another podcast. But so, you know, and you can find models anywhere. You know, she's at McDonald's, she's on a subway.
And in the middle of New York. I mean, it's not like, whatever.
They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I really feel so bad about is if, like, 2 girls are sitting together, and one of them is good for the stuff that you do and one isn't. And you just feel so bad approaching them. And this was originally a topic I was...
Approaching the one person.
Right. Like, you feel like you walk up to this pair, and then you're like, hey, you would be good for what I shoot. And you don't say anything, but you're essentially going, and you would not be.
You are saying it. You're not saying it verbally, but you're saying it without using words.
Right, right. By not using any words to that person. And the funny thing is, like, I feel like you're saying to the person, you're essentially saying to the person, like, hey, you're pretty and your friend's not.
Right.
And it's like, I wish, and I use certain language.
And the friend's probably used to that. Reaction, anyways.
Because the other girl's getting all the attention all the time anyway, and she might be a little bitchy friend because she gets all the attention, or the other one could
be
bitchy.
Well, she might not be.
She
might be a great person, but, you know, but you have these outsiders coming in, whether it be, like, guys who are saying, oh, hey, what's up, or people who are saying, oh, wow, you're so pretty, or, like you're coming up and say, oh, you'd be great for this. That's my first example. It's just, like, a guy trying to pick you up, or just somebody saying, wow, you're so pretty, or someone like you coming up.
What am I, invisible?
Right, exactly.
You know? And I hate
the girl doesn't have to be bitchy because she's pretty, but, you know, you have all these external issues and things happening.
Right. But I feel so bad having to be part of that. I seriously do. But I
especially being a father, I would think that, you know, of a daughter, of a girl.
No, I never thought about that. I think my daughter's too young for me to think about any of that.
Well, she's not going to be young forever.
I wish she would. Oh my God, I wish she would. But I look at it, though, too, like that I should not deny this girl a chance to get a modeling gig, whether it's paid or, like, editorial and it's not paid, just because I don't want to offend a friend. That's not fair to this girl who could have had an opportunity. But I approached these two girls the other day, and, I mean, I felt so bad about it. Because I walk over there, and I said hi to the friend first. I don't know. I just do. I go, hi. And the friend, they're eating, and she lights up. Like, she gives me this big smile. She's like, hey. Which is weird because I know, like, if I'm eating lunch, I don't want anybody to talk to me. I'm like, I got the headphones on.
Well, you never want anybody to talk to you. You're just looking for photographers to email and say, your work sucks. Call me.
But I don't want them calling me at lunch. I don't want to be bothered. And frankly, like, this particular place, when I worked at BET, I went there because nobody from BET would eat there. And I love the people at BET, but, like, lunchtime, I'm processing images and I'm trying to relax. I don't really want to have a conversation with anybody. So I purposely went where nobody would go.
Right.
Because I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm talking to them all during the show times. Mm-hmm. It's enough for me. And despite how much I talk in this podcast, I can be really quiet a lot, believe it or not. Believe it or not. They don't believe it because they hear me talk for 40 minutes now. But the friend lights up, and then I'm like, hey, and then I'm turning to the other girl like,
so wrong.
Oh, it feels horrible. And I'm like, you would be really good
that
for the stuff
so
I shoot.
Wrong.
You know, I know. And it's like, you know, and I try to make it quick. I'm just like, here's my card. If you're interested, email me. If you're not, then whatever. And I walk away, whatever. And mind you, she was one of the girls I shot today.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I told her that story today. And her reaction was a little bit funny to me because
What was her reaction? I'm curious.
She said, like, oh, don't worry about it. She's not really interested in that kind of stuff.
That's not true.
Yeah, I know. That was my reaction. It was like,
nobody's approaching you about it. So, of course, you're not interested. You're
right.
Not
like,
be,
you're the gorgeous friend, yeah. And your other friend's not. And you're right. Like, she's not interested. Hey, she doesn't have a choice.
And as the gorgeous friend, probably thinks everybody has those opportunities and whatever, and people approach you, and you know.
And as a gorgeous person, I relate.
Oh, of course, darling, you're a supermodel.
Hey, I understand. I understand how difficult it is. You know? So anyway, I don't know, but I'm just saying it feels really bad to do that. But the way I'm able to get over it is I say to myself, I should not deny this girl an opportunity to get an opportunity because I don't want offend.
Well, unfortunately, you are in an industry where there's this like perpetuating, you know, image, or you know, there's a look that the editors want to see in the magazine, that because that's what they want to see, you now perpetuate that sense of beauty and with the people that you
because
approach.
I'm shooting a certain type of look, and it's not necessarily what I would.
And
think
if you look at it on a grander scope. Think about all the girls who are reading these magazines. Right. Here, you have this one friend that's like, well, I feel crappy because he doesn't think I'm pretty. Yeah, he thinks she's, of course, he thinks she's pretty. Everybody thinks she's pretty. But then when you look in a magazine, that's a huge scale of, you know, you flipping the pages, and you don't see a girl that looks like you, she doesn't have the same body type as you, she doesn't have the same skin color as you, she doesn't have the same hair color as you, she doesn't have the same eye color as you, she doesn't have the same what, you know, it's like nowadays it's like the you know, everybody has a big butt and this is the, now my butt's flat,
but
what do I do?
At least
so
today,
I mean, this is the industry that you are in, unfortunately.
But the
you
good
know?
Thing today, at least though, is because of things like Instagram, girls can build a following of their own standard of beauty.
They can.
And there's a huge...
They can, but there is still this huge understanding of what is beautiful.
Of course, and there's still nothing can touch getting on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I don't care what your Instagram following is like. But at the same time, like, you know, in the black community, there's a whole big movement towards like natural hair.
Right.
That's grassroots. That's starting from Instagram and Twitter.
Well, a lot of things are grassroots, which is really great now. It's just a really great way to communicate with like on a like you say, like this nationwide, worldwide scale with people, you know, who do have the same interest and are making influences in communities and societies
and
whatever.
Right, and eventually it can catch on.
Completely.
So at least, it does suck. It does.
Where it's not just a magazine now telling us this is pretty.
Right.
You know.
Right,
you can now make your own, you can shape your own form of beauty. And, and people,
which
because there are a ton of folks doing it, because really that's what it comes down to, unfortunately, is like popular culture. You know, we need that popular culture to tell us, you know, oh, hey, this is cool. You
but
know, like the lady from
over.
The, what is that movie? Where the ladies played the maids and...
The J-Lo movie?
No.
Where J-Lo played the maid? Yeah, okay.
Where, no, there, Octavia Butler and a few other ladies.
I
can't remember their names. But they were... portrayed Southern maids like in the 60s or whatever, 50s, whatever time it was. And that was controversial because they're like, oh, you know, we have these black women who are great actresses and of course they can only play maids. You know, that was a whole big thing. But at least it's a role.
It's
a starting point. And it's an admirable role because these were the jobs that, you know, African American women had, you know, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, you know, whatever the case might be. But this one actress who, they all wore wigs in the movie, but she was also wearing a wig in real life on the red carpet and all of this. And on one of the red carpet appearances, she shaved her head. Mm-hmm. And it was just a low cut, her natural hair. She colored it. It looked amazingly gorgeous. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was just like, why the hell was she wearing this wig? Right. Like, what the hell?
That was
like,
the standard of beauty,
and like, right. Exactly. Right. You're thinking the straight hair, you know, it's a bob and it's a whatever. You're thinking, oh, I look great this way. But here she is with her own hair.
Right.
And she was stunning, you know, and, right. and still is wearing her natural hair. But you need that. As well,
you need some people,
you know,
to be bold
exactly
enough to do it,
right.
But again,
you know.
I think at the very least, we're living in the, I believe in every way, we're living in the best time in history.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't like being part of that system perpetuating a certain
yeah.
standard,
but you
opinion,
are, but you
but
are,
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
And you have to acknowledge that exactly.
But at the same
and
time,
and it's not always going to feel good,
no,
because,
it doesn't.
Because it's not good.
But there are plenty,
you know?
Of times that I've fought for certain girls and like,
no,
we
definitely.
Should shoot her, and I've gotten
mm-hmm.
in magazines and book
right.
covers and stuff, so whatever. But anyway,
and that's good, that should be your new job, to champion that instead of telling photographers that they suck.
Well,
why don't you work on that?
Saying,
work
you know,
on getting the editors to run, you know, all shades of black and
okay.
all hair types.
And then on the and on the weekends, I'll tell.
And all shades of white and Asian.
Yeah. And on the weekends, I'll tell photographers.
And maybe
I
just suck, on okay? Sundays, because
right.
you know.
Right. All right. But anyway, let's wrap there. Okay. Thank you for being here, Tamara.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think we're going to BBQs now.
I hope so.
Yeah, the 8-year-old is deciding where we eat dinner.
I need a piña colada.
Right. But the 8-year-old is deciding where we have dinner. So,
yeah.
You know, that's where she's giving me the evil eye. I wish you could see her now. Come and say hi to the camera really quick. But anyway, if you want to find me on Instagram, it's John Ricard, JohnRicard.
Let me check my Instagram while we...
No, just say hi. Tell them where they find your Instagram.
Tamara NYCC.
Come over between us. Angelique. And again, I've mentioned this many times, but depending, remember the podcast is on YouTube and it's also on iTunes and it's on Stitcher. So wherever you're hearing it, if it's easier for you to hear it on one of the other formats, be aware that it's there, because sometimes you might want to get a glance at what we look like. So you watch it on YouTube, you're at your office or in your house. But then, you know, you're going to be on the train, you might rather just hear it on iTunes. And I listen to like Joe Rogan like constantly. I love Joe Rogan's podcast. I virtually never listen to it,
yes,
never watch it.
You live for Joe Rogan, yeah?
I love Joe Rogan. I listen to it on iTunes. I don't really go to the Ustream version or YouTube version of his podcast. But other things, you might times find it easy to hear it on YouTube. So just be aware it's on all those places. And if you're on YouTube, you can see my daughter. She's right there. She's waiting.
Is she on YouTube?
Well, now she is.
Oh, now. Okay.
We're filming now. And you can see my wife. And you can see me.
Yay.
Okay. All right.
One big
that's
happy.
It. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week. Hopefully with a wedding photographer and a good wedding photographer.
Remember,
all right.
To watch bye-bye. My dad. Can this say ever say not to?
What?
What? I don't even know what you're talking about. Your finger's good. The big dad showing the pinky that is all nice and good now, hopefully. Leave it alone. Don't even touch it. I'm nervous.
All right.
All right, that's it, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.